But what exactly is that? What is community? And why is it so important? Well, by definition, community is the feeling of fellowship with others, a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. We all have different backgrounds. We have different likes, hobbies, habits. Yet we all are part of the same community. We all belong to the Canadian Christian Missionary Alliance, right? It's a community. We might worship in different areas. You're in Mississauga, I'm in Brampton or Bramley. But we're a community. Today is the first, well, it's not the first time. I was here Friday, but this is my first visit to this place. And apparently I have an annoying habit, according to my wife, Debbie. I love being early when I get to the place. I was here just after 9:30. So I had a lot of time to just kind of walk around. Scott took me out. Got to see all the work that was going on. And it's pretty exciting what's going on here.
Yes.
Eric, how is that close? Excited what's going on? Besides making a couple people feel very uncomfortable with him being wrong, I wanted to demonstrate something. Something about community. Let's pray, and I'll explain what just happened. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are able to gather here as a family to worship you. Lord, I ask that you forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Strengthen me. Help me to become more each and every day. And Father, I pray that you come now. Come and speak this message today. May my friends hear your words, your thoughts, not mine. I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so I promised an explanation about what I just did. As I stood up here, I just kind of threw out that about the work and what was going on here. And if everyone in this room had said what they thought of it, I wouldn't have understood a thing you said. And we would have had no personal connections at all. So then I kind of got off the stage and I went and talked to Eric and Jay. We exchanged some information. We had that personal connection. And if we had more of these little conversations, a relationship would start to form. I did this just to demonstrate something I want. Yeah. I did it just to show something, a very important fact about community. Something which makes communities strong. And it's this. Communities require intimacy. They have to have that personal connection. I've seen it at our church, time and again. Every spring when we run our Alpha program, first night comes, we open our doors, 50 or 70 people come through. They get assigned to their table, their group for the week, for the weeks ahead. Chances are you don't know everyone at your table. So there's this awkward, uncomfortable presence, feeling at every table. So what we do is we play a silly name game. You state your name, and you have to have a word that describes it. It's the same thing. I'm Sarcastic Steve, and I don't know why I get that all the time, but that's my name. It just makes it easier to remember Scott, or Eric, or Daryl, or Jay. And during that first night, you know that people are sitting around those tables. And a lot of them are, one, wondering why they're here, why they're sitting there. And they're working up their excuses already on why they can't come back the next week. And I've heard that, oh, what, I forgot, I've got a reoccurring dentist appointment. The next 7 Mondays. I can't make or I told you, it's on my mind. I've got to work Tuesday. I can't come here till 8 o'clock on a Monday. Yet for those that keep coming, something happens over those 8 weeks that we get together. And without fail, on the last night of Alpha, every table has the same thing said at it. Every person says, what am I going to do with my Monday nights? I'm going to miss you guys. Hey, I know, can we all get together for a coffee, just go to Tim's, and we can talk, do something together. A silly name game. A few weeks of meeting and talking. Sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your favorite meals and desserts. And a small community is formed. And the only reason that happened is because somebody cared enough to invite those people to Alpha. Each table is a small community. You put them all together, they form a larger community. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't that describe what a church is? Small communities, all forming one large community. We have different ministries, different groups of friends, but they're interwoven into a strong community. It's clear from the very first chapter in the Bible that we are created for community. Genesis 1:26. That God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, 3 in 1, the perfect community in our likeness. We've been created for community, not to be alone. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper for him. And later in Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, Solomon tells us this. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, 1 will help up his fellow. Woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. If 2 lie together, they keep warm. A man might prevail against one who is alone. 2 will withstand him. A 3-4-fold cord is not easily broken. 2 is better than 1. 3 is stronger than 2. That's why we're created for community. Now, I know last week the weather was not the greatest, and we really wouldn't be thinking about snow last week. But I once saw a quote that said, snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things. But just look what they can do when they stick together. A single snowflake, while very beautiful and unique, is extremely delicate. But if you catch it on your hand or on your tongue, it's gone. One snowflake by itself stands no chance of survival. Jesus understood the danger, the peril of not being in community. And it's demonstrated as he calls the disciples. All 4 Gospels describe Jesus calling. They all give slightly different accounts. Some give a little more information than others. If you were to read Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22, or Mark 1, verses 16 to 20, it would actually appear that Jesus simply says to Peter and Andrew, James and John, come, follow me, and then they drop everything and do it. However, when you read John 1, verses 35 to 42, we're told that Andrew actually witnessed Jesus being baptized. And then the next day, Andrew again sees Jesus. And Jesus says, invites him to where he's staying. And they spend the afternoon together, Andrew, Jesus, and he brings along Peter. They talk. They learn, they share, they develop a personal relationship with each other. And then in Luke 5, verses 5 to 11, we gain even more information about how he called these people. As Jesus demonstrates how to build community. In Luke 5, we find Jesus on the beach. He's teaching a large number of people. So many people back to Jesus is being crowded back. So he asks Peter to put his boat out onto the water so he can continue speaking, which Peter does. Why? Because he spent the day with him the day before. They've got that bond going already. Peter puts the boat out. Jesus begins to talk. Peter sits back, rests, and has a front row seat to Jesus' teaching. And when he's done, Jesus says, cast your nets in water. So Peter and Andrew do that. Now, no doubt Peter's sitting there going, Jesus, you're a pretty wise teacher. But your basic understanding of fishing really lacks, because nobody fishes in the middle of the day. But I'll do what you ask. Again, because they have a bond over it. So they cast the nets. And as they begin to pull them back in, it's clear the catch they have is just too much. Because their nets begin to break. One boat alone won't hold all the fish. One boat by itself is not going to survive. So Peter reaches out and he invites James and John, who they know, to come and help them. And they land the catch. Now once on shore, Jesus invites them all to follow him. And the four men made a choice of a lifetime. They changed their career paths. You see, Jesus created a small community simply by inviting them to spend time with him. By developing a personal relationship with the four fishermen. We know later on that Jesus invites others to join that community as well. That starts with the four. Hebrews 10 and 25 describes how you keep a community like this strong. By not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day approaching. During his ministry, Jesus had a community of 12 with him all the time. He had many more that followed him. He had thousands of times. They heard him talk, they heard him preach, they heard him teach, and they followed him. But they didn't have that intimate relationship that the 12 did. The followers of Jesus were a huge community. The 12 were a smaller part of it. But they were interwoven through the 12, or through the larger community, to make it strong. The lives of the 12 intersected with other people. The Marys, the Lazarus, all those people that they touched. Again, similar to what's happening right here. Lives that interchange, intersect with one another. So it's not just one small group. It's one group overlapping another group. Now I want you to just ask yourself for a second. If you were to walk into, say, this community right now, and not know anybody, not have any personal connections, how would you feel? Probably a little uncomfortable, a little awkward. I don't, because I've met almost everybody here and I remember all your names here. I'm here today, not because I woke up and thought I'd just have a couple of giggles and come down and talk, but because Pastor Keith reached out and he invited me to come. Now, was there any risk for Pastor Keith when he invited me? Okay. Besides the chance that I might be a few jacks short of a full debt, besides the fact that I might not be a good speaker or the talk doesn't work, was there any risk for Pastor Keith? It was a small one. It was a minor one. You could have faced rejection. Because I could have said no. That's the worst that would have happened. We have to risk some rejection. We have to reach out to people We have to develop relationships with other people and invite them to be part of our community. We have to remember that not every person Jesus invited to follow him said yes. But the thing is, if we don't invite people, well, all we're doing is making up their mind for them. We're denying them any choice in becoming part of a community, in becoming able to participate with what you so enjoy here. Now, it was mentioned, my baby girl got married last week. She's not a baby, she's 21. Many months ago, as we were preparing for this big day, we got to the point where we had to start sending out invitations. And we had that conversation. Who are you going to invite? Who do you want to come? And it went around for a couple of days. Don't waste a stamp on Uncle Bob and his family. They're not going to travel all the way down just to see a wedding. And you know what? Don't invite us also. They haven't come to a family event in 20 years. Don't waste the stamp. This went around for a couple weeks, maybe. And finally, my daughter got her list. She made her mind up, and she sent out all the invitations. She sent one to Uncle Bob and that family member that never comes to anything. Guess what happened? Some people said no. But Uncle Bob was there, so was his family. And the person who never shows up, he was there too. They all shared in my baby's special day. Simply because we gave them the option of saying yes or no, whether they wanted to be a part of it or not. Now, it's been spoken about quite a bit. I understand that on the 29th of October, you guys have a very big celebration. Something about your 50. Today you're 50. But the party's 29th. Just for the record, for one record, I don't understand you're not. You don't look at the over 35. Just saying. Anyway, I know you've got a lot of big things planned. I've seen the remodeling that's going on and the color schemes and those chairs, just so you know. We changed that chair 2 years ago in our sanctuary. We got rid of these. They're great. They give you an extra good reason why you can fall asleep. They are amazing. Not today, because you're uncomfortable. A couple weeks from now. But now, logic dictates that if people don't know about what you're planning, they're not going to come. However, if you let people know, I mean, you're mailing out, you're putting it on the website, and that's all good. But if you let the people know that you now have a personal relationship, neighbors, coworkers, family members, tell them about this big 5-0 celebration that's going on. You don't know what's going to happen. Will they all come? Like I'm the bottom, somewhere. Some will come and they will not enjoy themselves and you'll never see them again. It happens. But some will come and they'll enjoy themselves so much and the atmosphere and the love that they feel when they come through those doors that they'll come to become part of this community and they'll stay here. And now here's an important part about the personal connection and community. When you invite someone to come on the 29th, if you happen to walk away and someone has happened to me here today numerous times, people come and say, hi, I'm Monica, hi, I'm Eric. They're going to say, hi, I'm with Scott. Because you're their safe harbor. Anyone who's never been here before, you are a safe harbor for them. And what happens is now, someone else knows that you're with Scott. They have a common thread, and a conversation will flow from there. It's pretty cool. They won't feel out of place. Now, again, contrast this to somebody who walks off the street. That may happen, that people will see something going on, and they'll come in here just to see what's going on. And they'll look around, and there'll be thousands of people in here. And they'll go, how are they going to feel? Again, it's going to be awkward. You're going to feel alone in a room full of people. What are the chances they ever come back? Probably not good. So remember, not everyone invited will come. But 100% of the people that you don't ask will never come. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13 is a beautiful illustration of this. It says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large groups gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Some invited will say no. Some invited will come, but not stay. Some will come and become part of this amazing community you have. But again, if we don't sow the seed, none of it will take root. Earlier, I spoke about the Alpha program and how over 8 weeks, people at the church, at most of the tables, become a community, part of a larger group. Some of those people now attend our church regularly. Some come once in a while, and some we've never seen since. You have to remember, it's not our job to decide who comes and who doesn't, or who stays and who doesn't. Our job is to sow the seeds. Before Jesus ascended in heaven, he gave us one last command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Do you notice Jesus doesn't give us the option of who to invite? Who we should decide should be part of our community? Go and make disciples. So, I would encourage you to pray. I was amazed when I came in, Mark gave me your little handout here today. And in the middle, it says, people I will pray for this week. Which is just perfect, because what I'm about to say is, I would encourage you to pray. Ask God to place on your heart the name or names of people he wants you to invite. Resting assured that if he places names in your heart to invite, he's already working in their lives in preparation for this invitation. He's already working in their heart to accept, or at least to hear his words. I'd encourage you to ask God to give you the right words to invite them. And when you do, as is already the trend, this community will continue to grow and grow and be stronger. Jesus called the four. He created a small community. He added more later on for the 12. Just by inviting them. And this formula doesn't work all the time. He walked up to Matthew with not even knowing, said, come follow me, and he did. That's cold calling. That's sending out the invitations. That's the website. Jesus called most of them because he had a relationship with them. Despite all their different backgrounds, the disciples became a community. And later, they took what they were taught and they taught others. They created more communities. Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things. But just look what they can do when they stick together. Jesus knew the disciples couldn't do it alone. They needed each other. They needed to be part of the community. And when they became that community, they did something together that they could have never done by themselves. They changed the world. My friends, we are all created for community. We should share that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for all my friends here today. Father, I ask that you place on their hearts a desire to share the Sheridan Park Alliance community experience with everyone they know. Lord, there are so many people in this world trying to do it alone because they don't know you. They need support and to feel closeness of friends. They need an intimate relationship with you, Lord Jesus. I ask, Father, that your Spirit fill every person in this building, and that your Spirit flow out of them as they speak to their friends and family members, so that each of their lives can come to know your great love. Father, I pray that your Spirit fill this building so that the walls cannot contain it, and it flows out onto the streets of this community, and that lives are changed. People come to know your presence in their life. In Jesus' glorious name I pray. Amen.